What's going on, Boiler Nation? It's Tuesday night. It's February 3rd, 2026, and you heard the sounds of a train coming down the tracks. You know what that means. Brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown Podcast is streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown Facebook page and our YouTube channel. Hit that like button, that subscribe button, that follow button, that notification bell, so you know when we are going live each and every week talking Purdue men's basketball and Purdue football. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Evan Webb and Aaron Lynch in the house. Fellas, how we doing? I gotta think we're doing better than a week ago when we recorded one of these.
You are correct. A lot better.
You guys didn't believe in me in regards to the score outcome, and it was close to what I predicted last week.
I guessed a 25 point win. I was 5 points off. You guessed 54 point win. I mean,
if we would have played better defense, while,
but still 24 points away from your prediction. But I mean,
hey, they didn't lock down. They should have locked down in that second half.
They only gave up 63 points.
Should have played harder defense.
Oh my! But it's good to see the boys bounce back. And especially the seniors all have a good game, especially Fletcher Lawyer. 29 points, 7 trays, tied for second most in a Big Ten road game in Purdue history. Carson Edwards, of course, has the most with 8 back in 2019 at Penn State. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was a boring game Sunday, and I liked it being boring.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yes, it was. It was. You know, it's funny. Earlier, like on this podcast, like 2 to 3 weeks ago, we were saying how Purdue really hadn't been in any close games. And after we said that, it was like close game after close game after close game. It was like 5 straight in which they went 2-3. So it was nice to finally have a game that wasn't close. Took care of business like they should have. Maryland is not good, but it's still life on the road. It's still life on the road inside the Big Ten. So
that was their largest loss at home since 97?
Mm-hmm.
It was the largest Xfinity Center. It was the largest that building. Yeah.
Which was shocking to me.
Me too.
Yeah.
To know that, especially thinking all about like the North Carolina and Duke teams in the mid-2000s and also that Wake Forest team with Chris Paul on it. I mean, I would have thought they would have probably dropped a larger outcome score back in that day than this one. So that was a shocking stat that they showed.
I guess piggybacking off that a little bit, though, Maryland was really good in the early 2000s. So even mid to late 2000s, they were pretty solid, but tougher competition. The Big Ten's a better overall conference than the ACC, especially now. But back then, like you said, you had the heavy hitters of Duke and Carolina year in and year out, and then sprinkling Wake Forest once in a while.
NC State.
Yeah, NC State, some others.
Georgia Tech when Chris Bosh was there.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jarrett Jack.
Yeah, yeah. So, but good to take care of business. Like I said, good to see Fletch come out of his shooting slump. Good to see Braden play well. Good to see the guys giving effort all game long, rebounding well. There wasn't too much I came away complaining about at all.
No, they said they rebounded well. They played hard. They matched the physicality a lot without getting chippy. There were some points there where he got could have gotten a little out of hand, and thankfully didn't escalate it. But I thought they met the moment pretty well.
I thought they pulled off the gas. They could have easily could have locked down harder on defense. I think this is a team I would love to have Lance Jones on, like a true 3-and-D player. Like I think especially coming off the bench to just go out and shut down a wing and have athleticism to do. I really think this team's going to be fine. I was hoping Jakari kind of would step into that role a lot this year, but I mean, it's not been that way. This team's more of an offensive team than it is in regards to especially perimeter wing defense and switching off guys and locking down. I know that what we've been used to with Kramer, even with Dakota, being able to shut guys down. And unfortunately, I hope that's not what comes and bites this team come March. is having that 3-and-D player.
Yeah, and bringing up Jakari, I thought he played well Saturday. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see him hit some shots, especially from the outside. Nice to see him have a nice breakaway dunk off a steal. Wasn't like his daddy would have done, but still no. still nice to finish because he usually lays those in. So it was nice to see him. Yeah. And that one, he might have had to dunk it to make sure he got the point. But he had 12 points. Could have had more. Shot quite a few times, but that's all right. He was the third leading scorer. The only other guys in double digits, like I said earlier, Braden Smith, 19 points, 6 assists, home game for Braden. Mm-hmm. Fletcher Lawyer, 29 points. Trakov Marin at 7, but he had 10 boards. Oscar Clough, 6 points, 3 boards. Omer Meyer, 9 points, 3 rebounds. Daniel Jacobson, 8 points, 5 rebounds. Nice to see him bounce back after that game in Indiana.
And knocked down a 3.
I didn't realize CJ Cox only had 1 point. Yes. Yes. And DJ knocked down a 3, which he has no arc on his shot whatsoever.
No. Well, when he shoots it, he's like, essentially rim level.
But it's funny compared to like Edie, who had tons of arch on his 3 pointers. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But overall, 93-63 win. But not much more to say than that. I mean, as a team, shot 29 for 55 for 52.7%, 15 for 30 behind the arc, so 50%. Hit 20 of 25 free throws for 80%. That was good to see.
Yeah.
Out-rebound Maryland, 35-24. 9 of those are offensive, 26 defensive. 18 assists. The Maryland's only 5. Beat Maryland in blocks, 2-1. Maryland did have more steals, 5-3. Purdue had 8 turnovers, Maryland at 12. Purdue led points in the paint, 22-20. And personal fouls, Purdue at 16, Maryland had 19.
Overall, this Maryland team was – I mean, it shows why they're at the bottom of the Big Ten.
They're bad. And they're without Pharrell Payne, which doesn't help. I don't know how much better they would be, but at least give them some inside presence than a guy who's been around, especially like been around the Big Ten, importantly, with this time at Minnesota, but just a guy who's – a veteran. They are pretty bad.
It was definitely a get right game, I think, mm-hmm. in regards to probably coaches set the challenge and mm-hmm. set the bar in regards to what this team needed to meet on Sunday. And I believe probably the players answered it in regards mm-hmm. to what was being asked. So that's good. Again, Not much on the game front that you would ask much more outside of mm-hmm. better defensive effort, but that's here nor there. It's encouraging. Still didn't adjust in even the AP rankings. Still held at 12, and I don't think we're going to
surprise me. I thought we were going to drop.
Well, I mean, what are we going to drop? Because teams behind us have 6 losses. So
I just thought with, a loss to a team road and just being our third loss in a row, people would drop. They'd want to, just the recency bias they drop. I thought we were going to drop like 15. Like, I didn't think it was going to be much, but.
I don't think they would drop us over Texas Tech. Especially after Texas Tech lost to Kansas last night.
Mitch Melton here on Facebook said, I would have thought when Painter took Braden out, the second team would have had a good practice round. I felt Omer didn't run many and just try to clear the lanes and drive himself. Surely that wasn't the game plan, but maybe it was. And he said, and at halftime, I thought Aaron might be the star of the show. I did too. I thought Aaron was looking pretty good at half, especially before Maryland ended that like a little 4-0 run right before half. When it was 25 points, I'm like, man, you might be on to something.
I sent a thing in the group text that we're not far off pace right now. We need a lockdown. We need to have some more better defensive possessions, and this could happen.
Yeah, it is funny to watch Omer out there, especially when like things are not a threat for the game to kind of get out of hand, because you can definitely kind of see Euro League.
Oh yeah, he's got some Luka in him a little bit. Like, wait until 6 to move.
Yeah, or he just kind of says, "All right, I'm gonna get mine." And it's, I mean, you hope that that can turn into something we can create next year. Obviously, something that, you know, we need is a guard who can create, and he's got the body size to be able to do that. But it's funny. I mean, my dad will say the same thing when we're at a game. It's like, he's taking the shot. Like, you just got to know when he's going to take it.
He and Victor both like to catch it in the corner inside the arc, pump fake, take one step back to make sure they get behind the line and shoot it. I've noticed that out of both of those guys.
Yeah.
I just like it that we have a guard that size now that isn't.
Yeah.
I'd love to have Chris Kramer back, but with this offensive skill set, especially this body type. But the last body type guard we had was Nojel Eastern that couldn't. We're playing 4-on-5 offense. So I don't know if I prefer. Yeah. I would definitely prefer this over that.
Everybody changes their shooting hand there in the air. What are you talking about?
No. God. And take. I'm going to Michigan when you didn't even have a scholarship offer.
Yeah, what a journey. What a career that kid ended up having. But as we sit here on February 3rd, Purdue has 9 regular season Big Ten games left. Got Oregon at home Saturday. Next week, a pair of road matchups that will not be easy at Nebraska, at Iowa. Then you return to three in a row big home games, Michigan, Indiana, Michigan State. Then you travel to Columbus to play Ohio State, travel to Evanston to play Northwestern, then come back home for senior day against Wisconsin. So with those 9 games in mind, does Purdue have to go undefeated if they even want a share of the Big Ten title, in your guys' opinion? Or could they go 8-1 and possibly get a share?
As of right now, I think they have to go undefeated just right now. Just by looking at, I mean, obviously it's – and I feel like it's every year where you look at a team and you're like, I don't know how this team's going to lose. And, you know, then they do. But, like, I mean, you've got Michigan and Illinois right now with 1 loss. They do play each other. It's at Illinois. But so one of the teams is going to pick up a loss there. But then you look at least I know with Illinois, their schedule is pretty good. After, I mean, they play at Michigan State this week. So that could change this weekend if they lose to Michigan State, which – first party in that one. But after Michigan State, Michigan, they're going to be favored in every single game, probably by a margin, and unless they slip up, which teams do. But you never know. I mean, it's like every year it's like, you know, pretty loose. It's like, oh, God, out of it. And then, like, it was a couple years ago when Illinois went to Penn State and lost in the last, like, 30 seconds because Coleman Hawkins lost his mind and Penn State ended up winning a crazy one, like stuff like that always seems to happen. But as of right now, they need to go undefeated to shot because the top portion. Yeah, they don't have a tiebreaker. The top portion of the Big Ten is loaded.
I think they're going to look. This is when I miss the old Big Ten style where you play a team again. Because I would love to play Illinois at State Farm Center, whatever it's called anymore. And especially getting another shot with I know we're playing Michigan State once in Michigan. I'd love to have 2 games against that instead of our 2 games against Wisconsin. But I don't think we're even running the table toward in the last 9 games.
That'd be very, very, very
difficult. It's hard to do. Yeah.
I can see us going 6-3. I mean, even 5-4, depending on how next week goes with those 2 road games.
I think we'll beat Nebraska. I'm more worried about Iowa than Nebraska.
Oh, it's sold out. They announced it today. That game sold out now.
The Iowa game? Yep. Yeah, I saw they announced it was a 5 o'clock tip.
Yep. On, which is weird tip on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, is that a Peacock game, I'm assuming, with a 5 o'clock tip?
Yep, you got it.
Yeah, they got the weirdest times.
Yeah. Thanks, Kevin Warren.
Yeah. But,
What do you all think that look looks like on the last 9 games?
I don't think we lose another home game I know we have Michigan, Indiana, and Michigan State at home.
Yeah.
I'm almost talking myself into 8-1.
I'd say in my head, worst case scenario, I think worst case scenario is actually 5-4, whatever the hell you said.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm thinking 7-2 and you're out of it. Completely.
I think 6-3 is more likely.
Who would you say as of right now you think those three losses are to?
Iowa. And then coming back, Michigan. So I think there's back to back there. I think we bounce back against Indiana. I could see us losing again at home against Michigan State because they're the number one they're top five in the country in defense.
I know, but Mackey's a house of horrors for Izzo anymore.
I know, but also Carl learned how to play basketball in last year.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And he just doesn't jump out of the building now. And they have – I can't wait for Izzo to be retired, and I think it might be after this year, hopefully. Knock on wood, because I don't think that program – it'll be good, but I don't think it'll ever be what he had to be right now.
I think he only retires if he makes a run to the Final Four.
I actually think that them and Illinois are probably going to be the Final Four teams from the Big Ten.
I'm interested to see how Illinois plays when Boswell comes back. I think that could shake up their team a little bit. Izzo is 71, just turned 71 last week. Wow. Getting up there.
Overall, I think we all agree on this consensus-wise. We're done. Big Ten's out of reach at this point.
I don't think it's out of reach.
We don't own the tiebreakers.
We could over Michigan.
We could. That's the only one we could have.
So the only one we don't own is Illinois.
Which, if you tie, I mean, you still win. You still get the one seed in the Big Ten tournament, which I couldn't give any less of a crap about.
It's better to be the two, honestly, the Big Ten tournament than the one.
I agree.
The 8-9 is a tough matchup.
And I hate the first game on Friday. being the first game on Friday.
You like being that late tip on Friday?
Yeah, because
Three is the real late tip, though.
I thought it was two was the late tip. Three was the one before. So
three and six games, usually the 9 o'clocker.
Actually goes 1-4-2-3.
Because last year against Michigan, we played in that 3-6 game.
That was late, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were late the night before playing against USC. Mm-hmm. So whatever seed that was, 6-11?
Something like that.
Because is this still where the bottom four don't get in the Big Ten tournament, or did they get away with that?
No.
Where everybody's in now?
Last year the bottom four didn't play. So, and this year would be like Northwestern, Rutgers,
Penn State,
Oregon. Yep.
Unless Biddle comes back and the other guy, which I highly doubt.
Shelstead.
Yes.
Let's see what the standings are currently. Bottom four right now are Oregon, Penn State, Maryland, Northwestern. Rutgers and Northwestern have the same record, but according to the ESPN app, Rutgers is ahead of them. But I don't know if that's actually legit or just a – I don't know where that tiebreaker is. But
yeah, at this point, they're like
– be the top seed.
I just want to get that double bye.
Mm-hmm.
At this point.
I mean, I think that's – to me, I feel like that's a foregone conclusion outside of Iowa having a shot at it, right? Because Illinois, us, Michigan State.
Us and Wisconsin have 3 losses. UCLA, Iowa have 4 losses. Indiana, Ohio State have 5 losses. And USC has 6.
And we don't, and for that, we don't tiebreaker with Wisconsin. We beat them twice.
Yes.
If we drop games, the only one would be UCLA.
Correct.
Well, whatever it is, I think this team is probably kicking themselves for the 2 weeks.
Sure.
That happened, and don't control your own destiny. Still, there's a lot of season left. Still, I know you don't want to win a Big Ten. Who cares about a Big Ten tournament title? But it does improve seeding if you do win your conference tournament. I'd love to see those go away now, to be honest. But there's still a lot ahead of them. Everything outside for top, I don't think the Big Ten's in play anymore, but I still think that everything else is in play in regards to, you got a lot of time between now and March to make sure that everything's right going into the tournament in regards to where we slot and where we seed. I mean, unfortunately, probably the one seed's out of play too, and it's probably going to be Illinois taking it.
Illinois or Michigan right now. I think seed is pretty much gone. Obviously, it still depends on other people, but yeah, I think as long as we don't fall to that four, that's where I don't want to fall to. I'd obviously prefer two, which I think still think is very much in play. But you just can't. Yeah, you can't fall into that four line.
It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out, even outside of Purdue, because Big Ten's crazy. I mean, some of these good teams will slip up, the teams they shouldn't. I'm not I never wish injury upon anybody, but somebody will probably have somebody get hurt. Except Illinois already has, and they've become, in my opinion, a better team. I know our Illinois buddy can say everything he wants about their defense, struggling without them, but they're scoring more without them, and they're outscoring their opponents. That's the name of the game, score more than your opponent. So, if Purdue can play the way they did Sunday and get back in that groove, they'll have a chance against anybody. So hopefully they can continue that against Oregon. Oregon comes into town, another CBS game, 1 o'clock on Saturday. Purdue leads the all-time series 3-2 against Oregon. Last year, 65-58 road win in Eugene. That was on January 18th. This will be Oregon's first trip to West Lafayette since 1987. Wow. December 5th, 1987, Purdue won 88-62 in that matchup. So not a ton of history there, but a little bit. At 1 o'clock tip Saturday, should be full house, should be rocking, good student turnout. So hopefully it's another relaxing, easy coasting win for Boiler Nation. Yeah. But with that said, I want your guys' score predictions, your player of the game, and your bowl predictions.
Go for it, Lynch.
Oh, you want me? All right, this one's gonna be a cruiser. I'm going to go 81-55 Purdue. The dogs are just going to get called off. We're not going 56 points on this team. Dogs will get called off and Aaron Fine will be in there. That's what I have a feeling. Player of the game is going to be Oscar Clough, in my opinion. I think he's going to have a 20-10 game.
Like it.
Is that also your bold prediction?
Yeah, I mean, the 20-10 double doubles. Nothing to joke at.
Just ask.
Last time you said Braden was put up a 40 burger and Maryland's only going to score 41.
We were on pace. If he didn't get pulled, we were on pace.
Let's see here. Boilers win 87-63.
All right.
Player of the game.
Liam Murphy.
Easy one is Braden, but I'm going to go say Liam Murphy.
Yeah.
I'm going to go CJ Cox. He bounced back after his 1-point win or his 1-point performance. But my spicy little prediction, which I don't know how this wouldn't make him player of the game, but I'm going to say Braden has 15-15.
Yeah, I feel like he's due for a 15-assist game.
Yeah.
I'll go Boilers 90 to Oregon 69. Back-to-back 90-plus games by the Boilers. Player of the game, I'll go Trey Kaufman-Wren. I think he scores 20 again. Bold prediction. Aaron Fine scores a bucket.
I like it.
Walk-ons are due, man. Somebody's due to hit something. Damn, Lusk. Somebody's due to hit something.
Let me ask this. Do you all think between now and the end of the season, does Fletcher now pass Carson for most three-pointers school history?
I was just looking at that. Yeah, I was just looking at that, looking to see where he was at.
Yeah, that will help me.
He's second all time now. He's at 252, so he needs 29 more to tie Carson at 281.
Do these count Big Ten tournament and NCAA tournament?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he'll break it.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at me, he needs 29. And we have 9 games left.
So minimum, that's 9 regular seasons. So yeah. There's 11 total.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, even if you look at 10, that's at least 10, 11 games. But yeah, if just regular season, yeah, it's averaging between 3 and 4 a game, which is pretty much normally his average when he's not in a massive slump.
And we still play Northwestern.
Still play Northwestern. Still have to play Oregon. Still have to play, yeah.
I could see him hitting like 6 on senior day.
Yeah, hopefully.
It's Wisconsin. And he'll want to bounce back against Indiana at home.
Yeah, their last chance, yeah.
And heck, he's a Michigan guy. Well, you know,
yeah.
Grew up majority of Michigan. So he's got Michigan State left at home on the schedule too. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he obviously is a confident kid. He never lost confidence in himself. I think, you know, all Purdue fans, we were worried because he was in a month slump, but the way he shot the ball Sunday, just something, it just looked different to me. I don't know. I'm not a guru on the mechanics of the shot, but whatever he did, keep it going.
All right.
Yeah. It worked.
Did Braden get close because he's now inside the top 10 for all-time career assists? We have a minimum 11 games.
Yeah, I think he gets close. I don't know if he's going to hit it now because he's had so many games with like 4 to 7. I think it's going to be a lot. It's obviously a lot tougher now unless he has a couple games like I said, if he's got back to games of digits, and that's obviously helps him kind of get back on track. But it's going to take either a deep run or some stupid nights.
Yeah. Yeah, I know on one of my other podcasts, one of my bold predictions for 2026 was that he would break Hurley's record, but that was more – I'm banking on a deep run in March, I guess, type of thing. But ultimately, I think he'll get close, but he probably won't get it.
Yeah.
Unless he has a Scott Skiles kind of night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Plymouth Pilgrim. Shout Scott Skiles.
I think he's going to probably – if we can get to the Sweet 16, I think he breaks it. I think if we get to Sunday in the Big Ten tournament and Sweet 16, I think he breaks it because at that point, that's – 15 games? Yep, that's 15 games because that's two each more, saying we get the double bye.
Yeah.
So I think in 15 games, what's the difference he's at right now?
I have no idea.
Is it 100?
I know he's creeping up on Steve Blake because they showed Steve Blake in the crowd, and he was like 6th.
I think is it 150?
Yeah, like Mitch Melton said, if Fletcher keeps stroking it, the Braden feeds him, both records will fall.
According to the Braden Smith track, BradenAssist.com, he's at 954.
Wait. Somebody's got the domain BradenAssist.com.
Yep.
I love that. Good. That is fantastic.
He's 92 behind Tony Miller. So he is, let's see.
It's 4. So it's 4. He's 122 away from tying early.
And you said how many games if we made the Big
Ten? Make it into the Sweet 16 and make it to Sunday in the Big Ten tourney with a double bye. That's 14 total games. So that's averaging 8 points, roughly 9 assists a game from here on out. Mm-hmm. Because I'm concerned as much as you all are of, I think if we look forward on Selection Sunday – I do not want to be in the same region as UConn. Because I have concerns about that or Arizona.
I'd rather play UConn over Arizona, just me personally. UConn looked pretty pedestrian against some pretty bad Big East teams for a majority of their games. But Danny Hurley, he's an absolute psycho. Yes. But
yes, there you go.
But he was psycho last year, and they weren't very good.
Because that, if we are the 4 seed and one of those lines, like playing the 1 seed in the Sweet 16 is, I highly doubt we'd probably be playing the winner of the Big Ten title. They're not going to put us in the same region, I think, as that, because I'm guessing that would be the Midwest region, and they would probably wouldn't have us there. Yeah. So yeah. We'd be out west or in the south. That's what I would think, because we'd be the highest 4 seed probably.
Do you guys think there's a good chance this is the one of the years where the NCAA champion's a first time champion?
Got it.
Well, if it's Purdue, right? God know if it's Illinois.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why is it Gonzaga?
Gonzaga, Houston.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, if it's not Purdue, then I wouldn't mind either one. I mean, Mark Few, I think, deserves it. Kellen Sampson's a hell of a coach. He was so close last year. It's like some of the Big Ten, the national as a whole, it's pretty top heavy. Arizona's undefeated. Duke is incredible with some freshmen leading the way. Kansas is starting to turn it on a little bit. That could be an interesting one. So for
the Darren Peterson kid, has to play. Darren Peterson has to play the second half.
Yeah, he has to play more than 50% of the game. Yeah, that is a big if. So it's going to be interesting down the stretch. Obviously, Iowa State has tripped up a little bit. In the Big 12, Texas Tech has tripped up over, they lost back-to-back games in the UCF, and then lost to Kansas, which I saw, I think the shake your head, but it was at home, so that's tough. Alabama has kind of, they got whooped over the weekend against Florida.
But Florida have 72 points in the paint or something like that? Just something incredible.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be fun. This is where I can't believe we're already to this point where, you know, after Sunday, all eyes are kind of on college basketball after the Super Bowl, when all the people who haven't been mentioned, so they pay attention.
I think for us, it's going to depend on the draw. All I want, though, is this team not to be remembered like the 22 team, and we have nothing to show for it. That is really in play right now, unfortunately. I know you are scared of mid-majors. I'd rather not. I mean, I think mid-majors have been hurt by the portal outside of Miami or St. Louis. But I just don't see I see at minimum the teams in the Sweet 16, regardless of draw. I just from there, it just depends on what the matchup is and where it is at that point.
Dad Moody on Facebook said we could take the South region for the tourney so I can drive over.
Yeah.
Could be in the South. What team though scares you all that outside the top teams in the middle half of the AP top 25?
I just feel like I haven't watched basketball enough, so I can't even, besides just box score reading and look checking. I just haven't watched much. I don't know what's up with me. But
I mean, if you're talking Milder rankings right now, the only ones I would be like and scared, I wouldn't say scared, but like if Purdue was in their region and look at the matchup, then like this is gonna be like, ooh. I mean, obviously, every team is good at that point, but like team like BYU is interesting, just because AJ DeBonta is a freak.
and then maybe someone like Florida, just because of their experience and, you know, reigning champs and all that. And I think Todd Golden's a really good coach, but outside that, like, just look at the standings. Like, you look ahead, I mean, obviously you got Kansas ahead of Purdue, Texas Tech behind us, which we've seen what Purdue can do to Texas Tech, UNC. I was watching a little bit of game yesterday, I think it was yesterday, or I'm just like, I knew one player on North Carolina, and it was because he was a freshman.
I don't believe in Hubert Davis.
Yeah, it's just like, it's not like, I remember used to, growing up, like, I used to be able to state their starting five. Like,
I said that the other night. Like, I used to be able to rattle off Duke, like, seven players on the roster. My wife and I were at lunch at Wing Center on Saturday. They're playing Virginia Tech. I'm like, I know two players.
Like, yeah. Brothers.
Like, yeah, the portal has just killed my knowledge of college basketball.
Yeah.
Outside the Big Ten, and even within the Big Ten, like, especially with the West Coast schools, like, I get lost.
Like, yeah. Well, it's like you like, it's just feel like every time you're watching a game, no matter what game, and they're talking about some players, like, oh, the so-and-so transfer. Oh, the so-and-so transfer. Like, it's, yeah. I mean, look at, I mean, Washington's got, like, three USC guys on their team. I saw a tweet a while ago, but it was like, they need to start doing, you know, like the Monday night or Sunday night football, when they do intro the team, they need to start that for college sports. Say all the teams they played for.
And heck, now we're letting guys who played NBA ball come back to school, or try to come back to school. So that's how you lose. That's how you'll lose fans. If you let that crap.
Also, college football went more to network TV too, and taking up longer attention span in regards to going August through January at this point. So college basketball is naturally just going to take the back seat and just be a gambling item in March, I think, anymore. And that's unfortunate. But going back to the question I asked, I think what two teams scare me, lower ranked than Purdue right now, are St. John. They looked like crap at the beginning of the year, but they do not look like crap now. I watched the game at the beginning of the year with them. Patino has definitely coached that team up. And he is a vampire.
You know they got athletes. So.
They do, and the only way I think we'd win is if we bring Garlic and get him out of the arena. The other team that really kind of concerns me is a Clemson. I think Clemson's – they got a lot of length in the backcourt, which I think that's the name of college basketball. I know we handled that length really well against Texas Tech, but if we have an off night and they disrupt our length, I think that's, especially how we've played in the last 2 weeks, that would cause concern for me.
Yeah, a lot of us thought we'd see them last year in the second round, but we didn't.
Nope. So. Mm-hmm. But they are much better this year.
Sure.
And I would
didn't the coach go to Purdue for a hot second? Didn't he go to Purdue for a second before he transferred? Like, I think he's from Evansville.
You're talking.
I swear I heard. Yes, because there was something, because he was mentioned for IU's job last year. We're saying, like, cause he was suddenly ending up. I swear someone said that, like, he had gone to Purdue for like a semester and they transferred. I could be completely wrong.
Sounds like Aaron's on the Google machine.
Yeah, I'm looking just to see.
I'll pose another question to you guys. Do you think Purdue will be the only school from the state of Indiana to make the NCAA tournament? Yet again.
2 weeks ago, yes. As of now, no.
No.
I still don't think IU makes it. I know they're playing well right now. This is a big week for them. Coming up with the next 6 days, they got three games they can win, but I just don't think they're very good. I know they beat us last week. I just don't think they're very good.
I think they're going to sneak in the playing the last four in. That's why I think.
Yeah, I think they'll be around there unless they go on a heater. I guess so. We can speak more on that after tonight, because I know they have a game tonight. Mm-hmm. Found some recently with some offense, at least, and winning games when you have most of your starters foul out. And granted, some obviously think some of their way, but they're not like teams of old recently where they kind of just folded. As of now, we'll see things change.
No. And I think they're going to be 4-4, and I think they're going to be playing in Dayton because, A, that crowd will go to Dayton and travel.
That happened a couple years ago. They made it. It was like the most viewed what was like they were in it. I think Notre Dame was in it and like some other was in it. And it was like the most watched first four games ever. It was like, well, yeah, because you've got these massive brands and it's not these smaller schools doing it anymore. Like, that's what the first four should be. It shouldn't be these 16 seeds. It should be the 12 seeds of the top four teams that sucked. at least it's entertaining that way. I'd rather watch that than Abilene Christian. No disrespect to them, but I don't care.
Well, historically, sometimes one of those teams can get hot. VCU.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and then there's been some other teams that made a run after winning those two. So, you guys want to go through the weekly gauntlet of the Big Ten?
Let's do it.
I have one more before we start. Okay. What do you guys think? Do you think Miami, Ohio goes through the MAC and MAC tournament undefeated?
No.
No.
No. I think it's interesting, though, if they keep up their good season and say Akron wins the MAC tournament, the MAC could get two bids in for the first time in a long, long time. If Miami, Ohio wins the MAC tournament, I don't think Akron would get in, even though they're having a good season.
That'd be a crazy four game, Miami, Ohio, Indiana.
Yeah.
In Dayton. I think Travis Steele and John Gross will be coaching somewhere else next year.
They should be. Yeah. They should be. That Kent State team we played is third in the MAC right now.
Yeah.
So
it's a solid conference. It's a solid conference.
Ball State's never going to get up there.
John Gross has got a cush gig right now. I don't know if he would want to go back in. And
I saw there was Ryan Hammer on Twitter. So he was predicting some coaching carousel, and one of the jobs he thinks will open up is Ohio State. He thinks that'd be a good one for John Gross. At least with Ohio State, you're not the center of the world there like you were at Illinois. You have some time to figure out because no one cares until February typically.
Very true. Yeah, I think he's too good of a coach not to get another shot somewhere if he wants. I think he'd be perfect at Butler.
Yeah.
He would. I did see a rumor that Billy Donovan got fired, which is not going to happen because the Reinsdorf won't pay out that extension, that John Chris would go to the Bulls. John Chris. Why am I?
John Shire.
John Shire.
I was trying to think who's John Chris
I was thinking Paul Chris in my head. Putting John Shire. That would be the dumbest move.
Yeah. It'd be cool, but it'd be the dumbest move on his part.
Michael Reinsdorf does not have the money to pay off.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of the Bulls, Jaden Ivey is now a Chicago Bull. Got traded today.
Yes, sir.
And he will probably be unloaded for a different trade here soon.
You think?
They're not going to be able to play that backcourt of him, Io, Kobe, and Bezelis. Like, that is like
23.
That would be sick.
Maybe 45. I would change to 45.
Ooh, that'd be cool. That'd be cool.
Even that, he'd get so much blowback even if he did that.
Oh, my God.
I was texting one of my friends who has love-hate. He's a Purdue grad, and he's a Bulls fan, and he cannot stand it. Ivy's his least favorite player, and he doesn't understand why he has his All-American thing in the rafters. He thinks Ivy is the reason why we lost to St. Peter's.
No.
He could have had a better game, but he was not the only reason. Everybody could have played better that game.
Everybody on that team sucked. Trevion sucked. Sasha sucked. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He blames Ivy for the entire season, though. and not win the Big Ten and not win going past that game.
He's a star.
That team was so unlikely. That team was unlucky. That's why they didn't win the Big Ten.
Yeah.
But that team has nothing to show for it.
I know. That's what I'm scared for this team.
It's very possible this team could be.
In state, you had Rutgers, you had Wisconsin all hitting shots within the last 5 seconds to win the game. Like, come on.
Yep.
Anyhow, let's go back to those games.
Yeah, Big Ten games. Tonight we got two of them. Rutgers at UCLA, who's a 12.5-point favorite.
Give me UCLA and Mick Cronin find something else to bitch about.
Yep, that's all he does.
I think we're nearing the end days of Pykele, unfortunately.
I think so too,
unfortunately, yeah.
This line flipped from yesterday. Indiana is now a 1.5-point favorite at USC tonight. Yesterday was USC 1.5-point favorite.
I think Indiana wins, I think, unfortunately.
Since Dorn started going off, they look better.
Yeah.
Giving IU, unfortunately.
I'll take USC in a close one, but there's still a good road trip for them to split, especially if they're in two close games. Michigan State, 7.5-point favorites at the Barn tomorrow night.
Give me Michigan State. I think Minnesota gives them a game. It's unfortunate Minnesota dropped that at Penn State because they could be – I mean, I don't think they were never going to make the tournament, but it definitely put some scare into some teams.
Yeah.
Spin your head. It's happening.
Wow. I am going Sparty in this one. Northwestern at Illinois, who is a 15.5-point favorite.
Illinois by 30.
Yeah, I think all my cruises in that one.
I think Martelli, though, drops over 30.
Yeah, I can see that.
And the team score is 45.
Iowa's a 2.5-point favorite traveling out to Washington. 11 o'clock tip tomorrow night. You guys staying up for that one?
Yep. I honestly might watch a little bit of it. Give me Washington, I think, in this one.
Okay.
No, Iowa.
I'm going the Hawkeyes as well. Thursday night, Penn State at Michigan. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. That's over 5 minutes in.
Taylor Battle ain't walking through that door.
No, give me Michigan pretty large. And Ohio State at Maryland Thursday night.
Oh, God. Give me Ohio State. If they lose this one, Diebler might not make it the rest of the season.
No, yeah. I think Thornton has a big game. Give me Ohio State.
I like the Buckeyes there as well. Saturday, we got five games, a couple at noon. Nebraska at Rutgers.
Nebraska.
No, I'm going to take the upset. I'm going to say Rutgers. I think Nebraska's going to fall a bit.
I'll take the Huskers in a close one, though. And Wisconsin at Indiana. Big game for both teams.
Big game for both teams. I think it's at home. I'll take Indiana in that one.
Taking Indiana that one as well.
You dub.
I hope you're right.
On Wisconsin.
The Big Ten game of the week, Illinois at Michigan State, which according to Lynch, Michigan State will come in with two back-to-back losses and be pissed off.
Yes, and destroy them.
Wow.
I think
this
I
think last year it was pretty – Michigan State won last year. I think it was pretty controversial. There was something that happens. I think it was Yakunis fouled out, like had four fouls, came in and picked up his fifth foul. Like,
I do remember that. Yeah.
Immediately. Cause I remember I was pulling. Cause at the time I was like, Illinois is our nemesis for this, like for the Big Ten, like Michigan State's going to drop so many more games. It seems not that great. And they ended up winning the whole thing. I don't know. This is more just hope, but give me Sparty and a very close
clean sweep there. I'm taking Sparty as well. Did you guys see Luca Garza's comments about the Breslin Center?
Yeah, I did.
Aaron, did you see that? Yeah. Yep. For everybody listening that might not be aware, he has conspiracy theory out there that the away team's goal in the second half, the basket that Michigan State shoots on the first half, is the worst basket in basketball, the hardest one to score. And he said you have to swoosh it to score. So
yeah. Or dunk. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. And Washington at UCLA Saturday night.
Give me UCLA in this one.
Yep. Cronin.
Yep. And the boys. I'll take the Bruins. And we got four Big Ten games before the Super Bowl on Sunday. USC That's at crazy. Penn State.
USC.
Yeah, give me USC.
I would take Penn State. I would take Penn State because USC travels clear across the country for that one. Give me Penn State.
And as a noon game, it's a 9 a.m. game.
Yes, that's true. 9 a.m. game, but no.
Penn State, switching it. Penn State.
No.
They've been pesky. They've been pesky this year for some teams. I'm a
played well against us.
Yeah.
Michigan at Ohio State.
Is this CBS game?
Yeah, it's one
for the waste management. Yeah, I thought so.
No, it's Big Ten. Oh wait, I clicked on the wrong one.
Nope, it's CBS.
CBS. I clicked on the wrong game.
Give me Michigan, but I'm gonna say it's a single digit game.
I could see that. Yeah, I'm taking Michigan as well.
Yeah, Michigan.
Maryland at Minnesota.
One game Ohio State didn't show up for. give me Minnesota.
It's gonna be a 2-0 week for Minnesota.
Taking the Gophers as well. Northwestern at Iowa.
Iowa.
Unless Martelli can drop 60.
Still might not matter. Give me Iowa.
Yeah.
In that one as well. So interesting. Like, I don't know. I feel like we're still not getting that great of matchups in the Big Ten, but hopefully
they're coming. Yeah, hope so. It's been weird. Like, I feel like last year there was a good game on like every day or every other day. And I just feel like this year it's just like, it's a Tuesday night. It's like, there's one game tonight. What the heck's going on? Or it's like, and then randomly there's like four games on a Saturday between 3 hours. And it's like, what are we doing?
And it's just still weird to me. Like, you know, you turn on, it's Iowa, Washington. It's like, I don't care. You know, like, yeah. I don't know. So, we're 52 minutes in. Let's pay some bills. And Lynch, we got a new pizza of the month to talk about.
We did. The Boy Breakdown is brought to you tonight, as always, by Mad Mushroom. Serving Boy Makers since 93, Mad Mushroom is located in the heart of West Lafayette and is known as the home of original cheese stick. When any member of the Boy Breakdown crew is in town, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer, and try out the latest pizza of the month, which is the Taste of Chicago.
Perfect for you guys. Both of you guys.
This one would be interesting to try. I'm not going to lie. It's their signature ranch topped with spicy capicola. Can I get that in my mouth? Salami, red onions, Chicago style spicy jardiniere, mozzarella cheese, and finished with an Italian aioli drizzle. So next time you're in town, use the promo code BREAK526 and get $5 off your next online order over $20. Be cheese sticks, pizza of the month. Any of their sandwiches, too. I think they're running specials on Tuesdays, 50% off as well.
Yeah, 50% off. Try it Tuesday. The Taste of Chicago, which is the February piece of the month. BLT Grinder, Funnel Cake Fries, Mad Maui Calzone.
So, Funnel Cake Fries. Oof.
Yeah.
I'll be at campus on Thursday for a career fair. So
you got to hit them up. The coupon code for that is try it. 226 for that one. So we will give a nice coupon code away for that too. But the Boiler Breakdown coupon break 526 for $5 off any order over $20. Like Aaron said, Mad Mush, feed your head. Can't go wrong with anything from Mad Mushroom.
Evan, do you like jardiniere and stuff like that?
I totally forget what that is. I'm sure I do. What is it?
Jardiniere, like it's
like the pepper. It's like the pepper mix.
Banana like, pepper, oh, yeah. Celery, like all
Italian beef. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say it's like Buno and what you get at also Portillo's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the one at Portillo's.
Yeah.
So, but see, right there, you guys are Sox fans, White Sox fans. You can have a taste of Chicago pizza, have a slice, and watch Sox spring training coming up.
They said that players said on Sox Fest last week their goal is to compete for the division this year. We'll see.
Or Webby can watch Jaden Ivey ball it up for the Bulls and have to take Chicago pizza.
Can I? Because I'm on TV because of stupid Reinsdorf.
That's true.
No, they're on TV. You just need to go get rabbit ears, dude. It's free to you.
I'm going to go dig those out of my attic.
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole for another day. Talking about rabbit ears. But Webby's got a sharp-looking shirt on like he does every week. And I'm guessing you got that shirt from the shop.
Damn right I did. Yeah, we're happy to have the shop back again. Been around since 2011. They actually had a really cool, I think they put it on their Twitter, of a picture of them from like early on, like selling shirts out of a kiosk. It was really cool. But now they've actually got three retail locations, one in Carmel, one in Broad Ripple, one downtown Indy. State of Indiana. The one I'm wearing right now is the Rick Mount era shooting shirt. They just released a new version of it in the old gold, true old gold, not the Vegas gold people hate now, but the true old gold. Yeah, there was a ton of new stuff. There's a Macure, if you're watching us, the Macure shirt, got my name on it. All things State of Indiana. If you've got some Hoosiers in your life, they've had a ton of stuff for obviously their title run. So can't make it in store, make sure you go to the shopindy.com, use promo code breakdown, and you get free shipping off your entire order.
Or more. I got a birthday around the corner, and it's I sent that leak to a few people. So we'll see. We'll see if anybody comes through. So yeah. So all right, fellas, any closing thoughts?
Good to bounce back. Definitely lucky that we had that, plus the week off. Hopefully the guys were able to get healthy, you know, maybe even get away from basketball for a day or two if they needed to, just to kind of reset for the, cause it's the stretch is real. So
yeah, I stretch is real. It's nice that it came a little bit later in the season for this week off rather than earlier, especially with the stretch that we just had in January. But hopeful. Just take care of business, and next week's going to be a challenge. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely will be. But before then, I hope everybody shows up at Mackey in camouflage, because we're going duck hunting. Let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the ducks.
Boiler up.
Quack, quack.